It's always good also to have a conversation with Dr. Rob Congdon, who reports on the European Union for us, keeping us on top of what the European Union member states, 28 of them in Europe, are doing. And what they are doing, their activities, basically, actually all of them, setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. For example, Rob, you just told me before we were able to go on the air about a breaking news story in Europe, European Union ready to start their own army. Talk to me about this.
Well, it's a little unusual. It's actually a combination. It's a report that's been issued by the EU. They are calling for the leading European corporate entities to contribute money to a new EU military task force, and they're calling it a supranational task force. That means it's not really the individual countries anymore that would be the military, but it would be this group that would be representing the EU, and ultimately it could easily replace a NATO type of situation. So it's been very relatively quiet story. Not many people have seen it, but it is just what we've expected, is ultimately an EU army that would be independent of the individual countries in the EU.
Very interesting information about the establishment of the European Union's own army. Well, actually, Rob, that leads me to a number of my additional questions that I want to confront you with, and they have to do with NATO. You're saying that NATO is useless as far as these European states are concerned, but what they're doing, number one, they've suspended their cooperation with Russia. Number two, Russia is very much upset with the buildup in Europe that's going on. Actually, the leader of NATO says that more Russian intervention in the Ukraine will be a historic mistake. Talk to me about what is happening as it relates to NATO now with Russia, with the European Union. You say, and we've already talked about the fact they're going to have their own army, but let's deal with what's happening right now.
Okay, very interesting, and I'm creating a map that I'll be putting on my website in about a week and a half. It shows the movement of both the EU and NATO from Western Europe moving and occupying or taking on more countries, uniting with them. And as you look at a map, they're starting to surround Russia, the Ukraine, and Belarus. And you can easily see how Russia is getting upset. NATO has made further steps, and they are talking about moving into the Ukraine. Russia, of course, we know is on the border of the Ukraine and appears to be potentially ready to move into the Ukraine. What we have is really two empires that are coming together. And NATO is strongly allied with the EU. In fact, in many cases, it's just a total overlap. So what we have is both of these two groups moving toward each other in a very significant way, all fired by or triggered by the Ukraine.
Well, then let me ask you this question. If indeed NATO is endeavoring to try to protect the European Union, Russia's very much upset with it. They're dealing with the Ukrainian situation. Is NATO a viable force against the Russian military might that is right there on that eastern Ukrainian border, that 1,400-mile border, with the latest report I heard about 100,000 Russian soldiers there? Can NATO deal with the Russian military and be victorious?
Well, that depends on which expert you consult, but at the minimum, you would say it would be probably a very even match of the two, unless the U.S. tried to enter. Now, the U.S. is not at its peak for military either. So what I really think is you're going to see a stalemate, and you're going to have kind of the under-the-counter working, trying to get the Ukraine either to come to the European table or go to the Russian table. And even though militarily it's becoming a significant potential clash, I think you're going to see them working under the table, and the Ukrainian government has to come together. Typically, after actions like that have occurred in Ukraine, it's very difficult for them to do. But Russia needs a political solution. So does Europe. So I really think these movements are long-range dangers, not immediate dangers.
I see a report this week, Rob, that the Prime Minister of Russia, Medvedev, made a visit into Crimea, somewhat angering the leaders of the Ukraine. They are very much concerned about this, but it looks like Russia has finally taken total possession of Crimea.
It does. For all purposes, it's a settled fact. And remember, much of the spokesmen in the Ukraine right now are those who are pro-EU. And so they're going to try to indicate all that Russia is doing is evil. Russia has taken the Ukraine. We've said many times they had no choice from their own country's standpoint. And now, of course, they're watching Ukraine. They don't want to enter Ukraine yet because there are a lot of Russian votes, pro-Russia votes in the Ukraine. If they moved into the eastern Ukraine right now, western Ukraine would be very much EU, and Russia would find greater problems than they really want to tackle right at this point.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you one final question. In your report from the European Union, I noticed that China's president has made a visit into the European Union. The leaders of the European Union making a statement, it's time to take the Sino-European Union relationships to a new level. What does that mean? Will the European Union states get involved in building all types of agreements, trade agreements, military agreements with China?
Based on history, they've talked about this many times. It's never come about. The biggest concern for the EU is getting products sort of trade-free from China to cut down the cost. But they have never suggested, nor do I really think they're even suggesting it today, any kind of alliances or really political level working. It's really trade or business relationships that they want to deal with China.
And in reality, I'm not sure they even want to have China as a priority with everything happening in the Ukraine and with Russia, which indeed, would you not say, Rob, is actually setting the stage for the prophetic scenario found in God's word to be fulfilled?
Oh, absolutely. As I've written in this latest booklet on the Ukraine, it is setting the stage. In fact, the events even of this week support that even further because more movement on the stage, if you will, is happening. So it fits right in with Ezekiel and the prophecies that that prophet wrote.
Speaking of that pamphlet that Rob has authored, you can go to his website. Rob, give us the address quickly so people can go get your booklet.
It's congdonministries.org. Congdon Ministries, C-O-N-G-D-O-N, ministries.org.
And that pamphlet written by Dr. Rob Congdon, a broadcast partner for us here on Prophecy Today. Rob, always a thrill to be able to talk with you because everything happening in that region of the world, in the European Union, setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. We'll talk again next week, buddy.
It's always good to be with you. Lord bless.